everybody. How you guys doing? This is Alex from the Linux Tube, and today we're doing episode 10 with lots of goodies to go on. And we got a special guest, as you can see in the bottom. Boom, boom, boom. There he is. Ben from Storm OS is here. So we got a pretty decent show for you guys today. And once again, I'm Alex. And Jesse's quiet for some reason. We lost audio on Jesse already. What the hell? Ben, go ahead and introduce yourself.
What's up, guys? Ben here from Storm OS, and very excited to be on Alex's show. Good to see everybody.
Nice.
Hope you all have and enjoy what we have to say. And back to you, Alex.
Yep. Well, Jesse, you're still muted. We can't hear you.
Oh, wait. I didn't have my...
Nope, you're fine, Ben. Ben, turn off your echo.
Sorry.
Okay. Nope, we have no audio on Jesse whatsoever. Oh, boy.
It was okay, this is a great way to segue into what I wanted to talk about. I really want to go first and get this off everybody's chest.
Okay.
Man.
Just give us a second. Give us a second. So,
oh, golly.
This is awesome. So, what's up, Waffles? How you doing, brother? How you doing? And Seeker and everybody that's in the chat, question.
Thanks for joining us.
Is the video doing okay? Everything look good? No more purple artifacts like last week or anything like that? Give us a shout. Let us know. But other than that, we're going to talk a little bit about some problems going on in Linux today. We're also going to talk a little bit about Ubuntu going on today. And then we're going to give our wonderful guest, Ben, who's got his new release out of Storm OS, the last half hour of the show. Lord, and so we're going to talk a lot about Storm stuff. So... Yes. I know, Jesse. Are you ready? I'm unshackle you, buddy. I'm going to let you out the gate. You ready?
Let me at him.
Dude, there you go, buddy. You got it.
Okay, so everybody using 6.4 kernels and up, whose audio sucks lately?
Not just audio, but video.
Yeah, well, more of the audio, really.
It says your mic gain is blown out.
This is exactly what we've been fighting for the last day and a half. So just hang in with us. We're going to talk about it. So here, I'm just going to back off the mic a little bit.
There you go. Perfect.
So as of the time of our podcast right now, so it's 5 p.m. Eastern, and there is up-to-the-minute fixes to Pipewire and the associated plugins. WirePlumber's got an update. Pipewire Also's got one. Pipewire Jack's got one. Pipewire Pulse has one.
That's right.
Pipewire Proper has one.
It's Pipewire Insanity.
Yeah. Pipewire is having a bad time with the 6.4 and 6.5 kernels. We've seen it on Archbase. All of us here on the...
podcast team. Our moderator, me and Ben, last night we all hopped on, and it was insanity for our pre-production meeting. It was total insanity. We were all battling things, but the coolest thing is we were all collectively came together and figured out what was going on.
Yeah, we did.
Arch with Pipewire, that was your first mistake. All right, Waffles.
Oh god.
Now, we were saying this on today's pre-show meeting before the show. The only reason we actually all worked together is because we were all using something Archbase at the same time. There was no Gentoo fanboy to say what was wrong. There was nobody to bang on Ubuntu. There was nobody waving the Fedora flag.
None of that.
We worked together by accident, but on purpose.
But it's because we're all on Arch. And we're like, wait, are you on Arch? You on Arch? And we're all like, yeah, I'm on Arch. And so it just coincidentally worked out. But what was really cool is that the community, we came together as a microcosm of the community, and we helped solve everything together. We figured it all out. One of us, our moderator, actually did a kernel rollback.
So
I mean, it was really cool. But you know, and then we had this morning we got on, we were literally on the pre-show for over an hour or close to an hour, right? And we're all
That's why we have the pre-show for the hour before.
We had everything hammered out, working good. And then as soon as we get, as soon as I go live, like Jesse was talking fine, had everything sounded good, everything was great.
Yeah.
At freaking 30 seconds to showtime, I'm like, okay, everybody be quiet real quick. And, you know, I'm getting ready to roll the intro and then we're going to go into the show. As soon as I get introduced, then you guys.
I unmuted my mic and it didn't come unmuted. And I'm like, oh no, here we go.
Yep. And then everything just went boom.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and then then the game got blown out and I hadn't touched it.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I do want to give a shout out over to Steve from Zero Linux, because I was hanging out in his Discord before yesterday, and that's where I heard about the Pipewire kernel issues, and we started going down that rabbit hole together. Because I remembered that Steve had
first one to bring it up to our attention yesterday in the production meeting, and so that was a good call. I mean,
yeah. So thank you, Steve, for the tip.
Yep. Shout out to Dark Zero for that, Steve.
Oh man,
my Kuya.
So. So yeah, as of right now, all the Pipewire stuff looks like it is going from 0.3.81-2 up to 0.3.82-1.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
If you're dyslexic, just upgrade. Don't try to do the version number. Version numbers.
It's going to give you a headache.
Around.
Definitely try to upgrade, or worst case scenario, roll back. To an earlier kernel. I would suggest not the 6.4, but maybe like the 6.3 or something like that. I think some of the earlier, the middle to later versions of the 6.4 kernel are experiencing issues as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of people are actually, if they weren't already, they're going back to LTS kernels, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them either. The other thing too, that we're so far we've only talked about the audio, but if we all remember when I first started, what was the first thing you guys said to me? Why is your screen flickering?
Your camera was whacked out.
My camera was whacked out, and it has never been whacked out on these kernels. So apparently it's doing something with audio and video as well. So so just know that if you guys are having issues with display or camera, that maybe, you know, you might want to try rolling back as well. Other than that, you know, I mean, it's fun Arch stuff, you know. That's, you know.
Yeah. I had to switch interfaces during the pre-production meeting today because my interface wasn't working on the latest kernel.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and Ben, so your OS is based off of Arch as well. What, as a developer, what have you done about that? Only in this, you know, for this question to you. Did you update any packages yet, or is that getting ready to happen pretty quickly?
I am going to be upgrading the Pipewire stuff as well. And we do include the LTS kernel as an option in StormOS. And unfortunately, I haven't found a way to make it the default, but, you know, I might consider that, you know, going forward if this continues to be an option, an issue down the road. So.
All right, cool. So, you know, just as a question on an issue like this, because this is a grandiose issue that's not just affecting one distro, but it's affecting every Arch fork and base distro. So as a rule, how long, if you have an issue like this, how long do you let it ride to see if Arch solves the issue and pushes the updates before you actually take, you know, action to try to correct it? Do you wait
I wait at least a few days to a week before I actually see like another Arch base or Arch itself actually consider putting into a fix of some kind.
Correct. But you like probably, like, I know Steve over at Zero Linux, you know, he's Arch based as well. I know that he will throw out a bug report real quickly on Arch about it. You do the same thing too, right? I'm sure.
Usually, yeah, I go see if, before I do that, I go see if someone else has already done it, and if not, I'll look into reporting it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I mean,
Secret Chat just said, he says He says a few days to a week. So I think that's the average.
For most devs, that's usually how we go about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, I mean, obviously, when you have like you're
a bug, you're, or
I mean, some people would say, well, Alex, you're kind of being dumb when you're trying to put a whole production show on a, you know, rolling release distribution.
Yeah, we're all doing it. Look at us here thriving.
Let's flex, baby. Let's flex. Yeah.
Let's flex. Yeah.
You know, we flex right now, yeah. You know. You know, yes, that we're doing that, and we're able to circumvent and come up with issues on fixes on the fly. So but yep. I think that is a viable thing, and I think that's a good thing that you're in tune like that. Yeah. The Colonel.
Yeah, I mean,
Springle says the Colonel has certainly been a pain as of lately. I rolled back to 6.1.57. He went all the way 6.1. Wow, because of the audio issues. Wow.
Yeah, I'm going.
Wait a minute, my game blown out again.
Yeah,
I'm continually having to adjust the mic. I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know either.
I don't either, Jesse.
But I just want to give a shout out real quick. I don't know if most people caught it, but Springles is part of our team now. He is our actual moderator for the live stream and the chat. So let's give him a round of applause and, you know, give a big old thank you, you know, for
thanks, my friend,
for stepping up to and being part of the team. So he's a very, very valued member. So
absolutely, yeah. But mods are important.
Yeah. So anyhow,
for sure.
I think, no, he said, the Seeker says it's not too bad, Jesse.
Okay. Yeah. Now, see, before Waffles, I do want to tell you, before you think it's my game blown out, I was actually having similar issues where Alex and Ben sounded blown out. I swapped my interface, and yeah.
Yeah.
So it was actually my sound source.
Yeah, and now you're sounding, to me, you're sounding much better. But, you know, once again, I think this is part of the little bug issue that we got going on with you know, Arch. But, so, that is, you know, I know that a lot of people have already put in the bug reports to Arch based on this stuff, and I'm sure that Arch himself was talking to the Pipewire people being like, hey, what's going on? You know, we need something, you know, going on right now. But my question, what I wonder is how, you know, what are the beta test groups like for these people? You know, because this is, I mean, in just four people, we had 100% problem. Not 25% or 15% or whatever. We had 100% problem. So that is, you know, making me wonder, what is their beta test group like? You know, and do maybe they not use beta test groups? What do you guys think?
I don't really. I would say, Alex, that it's probably the matter of fact that, you know, they do maybe a minimal amount of testing or hardly any testing at all, and it's just kind of one of those things where they don't really put enough effort into testing, I think, and they just throw it out there and expect us as users and devs to test it for them, and then they just take it into consideration and just don't do nothing to really make it work.
Right. Yeah. I
hold on a second.
Yeah.
Waffle says, if we get the chance to reinstall Switch to Pulse, I can't disagree more. Pipewire makes audio so much easier to manage in a granular way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're using Pulse, you actually have to go in and set up manual sources, a lot like using VoiceMeter or virtual audio cable for Windows. Pipewire lets you pull out all your different sources by application, and I don't intend to give that up.
Yeah, but you know what, man? I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Going through that little hassle, but having the stability might actually be worth a viable trade-off. You know what I mean?
Because
we're actually we be playing with this like almost every week.
No.
Come to think about it.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, I'm still using Pulse Audio myself, and I'm not complaining.
Yeah. I got Waffle says I got there for Matt.
You got there for Matt.
Content creation, PipeWire gets too buggy. Oh, he got that from Matt. Okay, I see what he's saying. Yeah. Matt at the Linux cast. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you're doing like what we do every day, I mean, as far as content creation, you know, he has a little, he's got a little, you know, a little oomph there on that one, you know, to say, you know, why would we be still on PipeWire when we need stability?
Right. Now, what I will do is I will counter that and say, I think the issue is less with PipeWire in and of itself and more about living that rolling release life.
That could be viable, but we don't have a test group to kind of prove whether it was a kernel issue or an
actual. Little column A, little column B.
Because I think it'd be your column B would be the constant, you know, like the mute issue, you know, getting muted all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, that's been a recent development. Like the early issue, the early versions of the podcast that we were doing, that didn't happen.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then one thing that I will definitely say that was actually column A issue was when we were looking at our CPUs, when we were all...
Nuts. All of our CPUs went crazy last night.
Right. We were checking our HTOPs and our monitors, and like we were all banging, like any of us that were, you know, doing something like OBS, we were banging 120, 130% CPU usage.
Yeah, I was up almost to 200, remember?
Yeah, my laptop is... It's well over the... my computer is like... It's going between 125 to like... It's insane.
Yeah, it's really insane. So that's definitely and a kernel issue. That is definitely a kernel issue. You know,
and Steam
Jesse,
is like
your comment just got moderated.
Oh, because I all capsed.
Yeah.
Whoops.
So that was definitely a kernel issue that was going on where it was pegging everybody's CPUs like crazy. But either way, you know, that is pretty much so all the problems.
And I had to, and all I have open is like Discord, Steam, and a few other things. And I had to close Steam for the CPU to not get pegged up the wazoo.
Yeah.
Were you compiling shaders in the background?
No, I was just letting it run idle.
That was on idle?
Yeah, dude, that was on, that was just Steam running in the background doing nothing. No game open, no nada. I mean, I didn't have...
You weren't like even downloading anything, no updates, none of that stuff?
Nah.
That's crazy. All
I have open is Discord, Chromium, and Steam, and that's it. Only three apps.
Well, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the chat.
Hey, welcome.
And I had, I had to download the freaking, kernel 6.3.7 to fix this issue.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to go way the hell back.
Yeah, well, like you know, Springle said, he went back to 6.1 or
6.157.
Yeah, 6.157. So you have to go way back. So I don't know if it's something that they just upgraded to that just like triggered all this, you know, did like a catastrophic cascading
action. Yeah, it's been
painful. Sad, yeah.
But either way, you know, it is what it is. So let's go ahead and move on to our second topic. And the second topic of the day is going to be Ubuntu 23.10, the Manic Minotaur has been released. Now, what I'm going to bring out, and you were just going to talk about briefly, is one, it's using the 6.5 kernel. So I'm wondering how those people, I'm showing it on screen for those guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if those people are experiencing anything going on with that kind of stuff, you know, like the PipeWire and all that good stuff. I'm sure. That wasn't just like, you know, distro specific. It's got GNOME 45 as a new desktop environment. It's also the default snaps are receiving performance improvements like Firefox, which they had already done that with it. But what they did with it is they're given native Wayland mode enabled by default now.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. They've been moving towards that for a while, though.
Right. So
little by little, it's been, you know, sprinkled in.
Right. So they're doing that, you know. And then another interesting thing is that the ZFS on root installation is option now. Is an option now.
Yeah.
So they because ZFX got fixed, you know. Right. Yeah. So now they decided to re-enable that for people, which that should make anybody, you know, who is a ZFS kind of guy, you know, happy. Also, they used Flutter for their new app store, which is called App Center. They rebranded it. They're using Flutter for that, and also Flutter for their desktop desktop install as well. And so also there you can update your firmware on any Raspberry Pis or, you know, at pretty much at a glance anymore. And so everything's good. There was the flavors that have gotten here are KDE, LXQT, Cinnamon, and Budgie. Their flavors have been updated with all this stuff as well. And according to the 9to5 Linux, there was an incident, unspecified what the incident was, but they had to take the desktop image down from downloads. And so
They snuck hate speech into some of the translations.
Exactly. Agla
was mentioning it. Yeah. Wow. They were inappropriately translated, and there was hate speech buried into some of the spins. And according to Pharonix, the images were Ubuntu desktop standard, Ubuntu Budgie, and the Ubuntu desktop daily. So those were pulled down and respun.
I wonder what the hate speech was that got snuck in there.
And that's a good question.
I mean, I'm literally floored that this would happen on a corporation distro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm sure somebody's having a bad day for that getting out.
Oh, absolutely, man. That is insane. I'm really blown away because, I mean, okay, so
yeah, you know, 23.10 people have been excited for it for a while.
A long time, yeah.
So I'm surprised there weren't enough eyes on it somehow where that could get out.
Well, but then again, also if you think about it, you know, when you're talking about,
but it's a community distro,
right,
still.
Exactly. And when you're Ripley Plays, welcome to the
Ripley.
Chat.
Ripley's hey,
the
hey.
Chat. Hey, brother. So
Ripley still has the eyes. So. Whoops.
That's awesome. But what's interesting though is I mean, why so many eyes might have not been on it is because the delay in their release cycle. Every 6 months, it's a half a year. So a lot of people may just like be like, you know what, man, I don't want to, you know, wait for that long. And so they could be busy testing and put it on a list to get into, you know, to come back and check it out. So if you could maybe like, you know, send it to me through like Wormhole or something like that. I want to actually check it out myself, you know.
As do I.
It's a learning experience, you know, for distro maintainers. It's like, where do translations fall on your priority list, Ben, as a maintainer?
Sorry, what was the question? It kind of went over my...
Where does a task like language support or translations, how important is that in your workflow? Or do you borrow it from other places and not actually
Well,
do that?
What we do is, what I will do is, I've never really given it much thought in the past as a distro guy, but it's you know, it's going to become a very important niche to have, you know, different languages like, you know, Japanese and things like that built into my distro. So I will definitely look into that going forward because, I mean, I don't want just Americans using this system. I want it to be global. So, you know, the more global people we can get on StormOS and other Arch basis, we will definitely look into that.
Well, that is most certainly a very important metric to pay attention to in your distribution release because realistically, fewer Americans use Linux than most countries as a whole outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that last week, Alex, actually. We were talking about that in previous episodes.
We've talked about it in previous episodes, and I certainly make no bones about going back to that because that is the truth. You know, 90% of the world uses Linux outside of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, and Mac actually holds a lot of, you know, market share as well outside of Windows. Windows is more predominantly in the corporate sphere outside of the United States. like a lot of the companies overseas, they use Windows and stuff like that because they do a lot of business relations with America and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But as far as like personal computing, you're going to find that Linux is actually a large share outside of the world, or it's pirated Windows or Mac. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm going to do is...
I'd be curious to see what the numbers in the nonprofit sector for Linux were, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a very good idea to look at that. But, yeah, like I said in my upcoming segment, I'm going to talk about... Go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Ben, but I mean, the thought that just went in my head is that's why, I mean, if you look at what actually is going on with Canonical, I mean, look how big Canonical is, and it's not because of America. It is not because of America. And this kind of stuff happened to a corporation who's got a very rock solid stable. I mean, I cannot argue the durability, the stability, and the actual ease of use that Ubuntu has.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, like clearly checking the translations, they either didn't have it as a priority or they didn't have the manpower.
But are we sure that was actually in translations and it wasn't just like, I mean, because, you know, if you go, Brody and I talked about this months ago when I was on Brody's show on Tech Over Tea, but there's a screensaver that was made for you know, Linux, you know, called X Screensaver. And decades ago,
I still use that actually.
Yeah, but decades ago, somebody snuck in, just thought it was a joke that there was a screensaver where it made an actual erect phallus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it got caught. God. It didn't. So it got caught where you put it on random and it just all of a sudden people were coming to their computer and
like, hey, what's this about?
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah. You know? And so it got taken down and it caused a lot of problem. You know, just people sneak stuff in. I don't know if it's in final pre-release, you know, like everybody gets a final sign off and all of a sudden says, hey, let's throw this in here or what happens. So, I mean, I don't necessarily know that it was translations as much, you know, if this whatever that happened, you know, in Ubuntu, if maybe it was something similar to that vein, you know what I mean? But you never can tell. But nonetheless, and I don't know what kind of QC quality check you would put in place to prevent that from happening.
Right.
Well, as just as an update to give prior to my segment, I'm going ahead and adding the language font support into my distro, as a matter of fact, right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, I figured why the heck not just go ahead and add those certain fonts that I need to do that. So
Oglo says that Valve is actually porting CS2 to Linux and not Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's and that did drop. CS2 dropped, and I heard a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's mixed reviews on whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
But Oglo, Ben's distro is Storm OS.
Yeah.
And he's getting ready to talk about that in just a few seconds. We're going to turn it over to him. But I just wanted to wrap up on the actual Canonical thing, that if you guys go out and if like they're gonna, I guess Ripley's gonna put it in the Linux Tube Discord. He's gonna put the MediaFire link in there to actually
figure that out
to the Canonical one, so everybody can test it out and kind of see what was going on. It's gonna
be there. It looks like Canonical is not keeping the tainted distros as part of the Ubuntu archive.
Of course not. You'd be insane to do that. Are you serious?
But I think that it was big of them to like come forward and say it and not just like dirty delete and pretend it didn't happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, they gave acknowledgement, I'm sure.
Right. We're going to have the Pharonix article link in the show notes.
Nice.
So if you guys want to, you want to read more about that afterwards, that link will be there.
Yeah, he also Ripley posted the wormhole link in my Linux Talk channel, so that's cool.
Nice.
In Discord. But anyhow, yeah, you know, like I said, I'm glad that they fixed it. I'm glad that they're all over it, and it's strange how that works. And obviously, you know that somebody is going into a very deep dive over on Canonical side as to quality checks, pre-release like 24 hours before, you can tell, you can bet that they're having at least very important people firing up in a virtual machine somewhere. Every release now from now on is being released 24 hours prior to release, and they're freezing any access to anybody accessing anything for any type, you know, posting on their web pages to be able to upload a new ISO. So
yeah, good job Canonical for catching and dealing with that.
Yep. So, all right, Ben, we're turning the floor over to you, brother.
Okay. So I'm going to pose a question to you guys. What do you want to hear about first? The history, the what?
I want it all, brother. Because you know what?
History sounds good.
Because I'm going to tell you something.
All right. We'll go with history first.
Let's go. Let me explain why. Because as some people in the chat, they're like, what is your distro, Ben? And you not everybody knows what Storm OS is, but the thing is you know, it's always nice to hear what gave you the inspiration to create your own distro.
Okay, well, let's start with the history. So back in, I want to say 2018, Matthew Moore and I were talking. He used to maintain a distro called Manjaro by MM, which was Matthew Moore.
Yeah.
So Yeah, and Matt and I got together because he was having problems initially booting Manjaro on one of his machines, or all of them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back after they had changed from GFX boot to Grub 2, and they had created their own profiles for Grub, whatever. And this was just after Grub had been updated to Grub 2, whatever. And it caused a heap of problems for Manjaro across the board, for even me on one of my legacy machines I had at the time. So we decided to branch out and build something based on Arch called Arch by MM. But the problem was, we found out after we had gotten it the way we wanted it, et cetera, theme-wise. And the problem we were having was a very niche problem, which was the installer. We didn't want to have Calamaris at the time. We were going through using a couple of scripts by Eric Dubois at the time, and we mixed it with that and the art and the, what do you call it? The it was a fork of PacBang at the time. And that was, and it was the Architect Linux installer that we forked and put into a bunch of things and got all that to work. And going forward, we sent it, we sent our ISO, which was henceforth called Hackman Linux. And the name, we stuck with that for a good number of releases, but then Hackman was soon turned into Storm OS because Matt dropped the team due to real life issues. And I then turned it over to a personal project down the road. And come 2020, we basically changed it to Storm OS due to some naming changes and things like that. And I just kept it going due to, you know, I didn't want to see Matt's project die. So I took it over, kept it going. And we just kept it going for a long time. And unknown to me, upon checking it on SourceForge, it had now almost 21K downloads over the past 5 years.
And that's almost with no marketing at all.
Correct, except for some off-the-cuff donations, things
and,
like
and
that.
And a couple of the reviews that I've done on it as well.
And other channels as well, So it's gotten very, very popular. And so basically the donations off the cuff and the numerous downloads have kept this thing going for so long that, you know.
So as far as donations are concerned, where can people help donate to your cause?
We do have a Patreon, but there's almost like nobody on it right now.
Everybody's Patreon's a little light right now.
That's why
it's that time.
Yes, unfortunately. So we haven't gotten much from that. And
I still have a dev team that, you know, they keep telling me to take all the proceeds from it, mm-hmm. but that's fine. And we've got Seeker, we've got Ricky from Yu-Gi-Oh! Master 88, we've got my wonderful woman Kaylee on the team, we've mm-hmm. got just too many people to name, but they're all in the SourceForge page, and I wish we could get more donations, because I mean, I'm just a college guy trying to get a job helping with keeping the distro going. Perfect. So yeah, but regardless,
to be clear, real quick, Ben, just really quickly, to be clear, the only source of funding that you have is through Patreon. You don't have like
we don't have that, but we do have a GoFundMe page, which we use still, but we don't have a way to get that off the ground because, again, we don't have a website that we've got developed, and we're trying to find help to get that finished because we do have the code out there on GitLab, but it's mm-hmm. on my buddy Chris's from the Linux Tech Geek channel.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one hosting the code, and we just don't have a way to get it in better hands to help us finish it. It just needs some CSS touch-ups and things like that mm-hmm. in order to get it finalized. And again, we don't have a host for it to keep it off the ground right now.
Okay, so a couple of things in chat, first off, that you need to acknowledge. One, Oglo says he's a developer and he's created some crazy stuff and he could possibly make an installer. But that's cool as hell. And then Ripley also mentioned, and he brought up, this is awesome, because Jade Installer, which is what's used by Crystal Linux, is a pretty awesome installer. Have you considered maybe trying out another?
The Jade? That is a possibility, and as a matter of fact, I'll give some foreshadowing to this. I am considering an LFS-based system as well, and I might consider porting Jade. Mm-hmm. And I am not, and I repeat, in any way going to use Calamaris for that. That is a F-ton of work, and I'm probably going to port Jade to it instead because, porting Calamaris to an unmaintained distro like that?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you might as well start just maintaining the distro as well, then, if that's the case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What we're going to do is the LFS-based system, that's going to get updates as I can. I mean, maintaining an Arch system is H enough, and I am going to only update the LFS one when I can. Again, I'm in college, and I'm trying to get to a tech support job through that, so college comes first, guys, so the distros is going to be when I can.
Absolutely. That's
the, anyway, so, that's cool. So
you're looking at a new installer potentially down the road.
Yes, and going forward, we are adding a Plymouth screen, a GUI boot to StormOS in the next month, as well as we are going to add another desktop, guys. You heard right. We're going to add another desktop.
Nice.
And that's going to, we're going to add Mate to the mix.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. And,
Although I could probably tell you right now that Jesse would probably push for an LX QT desktop.
Oh, God.
No, I'm joking.
What's that for?
Yeah. Well, and we are going to be using a, we are going to add Mate Tweak in there because, you know, if people want to have a slightly different layout than the StormOS defaults that we're going to give, we are going to add Mate Tweak in there just so that we can have...
You can have what?
We can have, you know, a Mac layout or a Windows layout or whatever layout they want.
Yeah.
They can have that kind of option.
Oh,
if
so you
desired.
Mean you're gonna do a Windows layout thing, kind of like Zorin OS does, where they have like
No. What we're gonna do is we're gonna have Mate Tweak, which is gonna be forked from Ubuntu, because I think Mate Tweak is in the AUR, if I'm not mistaken. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna add that as a package into StormOS in my GitHub repo, so that way if people want to change the panel layout or whatever
they
want,
it's
an easy way to do it with
configuration. I guess you have experienced Zorin then, because that's exactly what Zorin OS does. It comes with four of those tweaks, those layouts already good for set up for you, and then if you get the pro version, you pay the paid for version, then you get like another six or seven more where they have already customized
six or seven more things. Yeah.
And you can switch to those. But yeah, it's the same thing. We're talking about the same thing. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So you're
now,
you're,
hold on.
What? Hold on.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're going to have the Mate tweak tool in the distro. So that way, if people want to use the Mate version, they can have, you know, different desktop layouts for the same.
That is pretty awesome. That is cool. And I like that because in the end, when you think about it, it allows for you, for those of you guys who like to distro hop a lot, you know, a lot of people that want to change it up all the time, you know, it's just on a fly. What was it?
Right.
I did a review on, I think it's Voyager Linux.
Voyager
which is
Linux.
An Ubuntu based Linux that has that you can change different desktops like that really quickly. You know, and they've got, and I think they've got like, I want to say like 10 or 12. 10 or 12 layouts already preset up that you can just fly. And it's like literally changing from like a Mac style to a Windows style to a Linux style to a
customized
one that you can set up. I mean, it's really
cool.
And you can actually customize them and it'll save what your customizations are. They can just
right exactly. So and in the XFCE version, we also include the XFCE panels program. Mm-hmm. But this Mate tweak is gonna make that look like a child's toy. But what we're gonna do is I'm actually looking it up right now to see if the Mate tweak is in the AUR.
Right.
And no behold, it is. So yeah, I am going to add that into the Mate version as a thing there, as a package to actually change.
And you said that you're going to be releasing this on the Mate version on the next release?
On the November edition.
In the November edition. Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yes. And I am going to be building that version in a virtual environment because, you know, we're actually on my HP laptop next to me, one of the two. So that way, because, you know, building in a VM is, it's night and day. So, yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to basically take my StormOS that I have on a flash drive, install that, and move and remove XFCE from that, and I'm gonna put Mate on it and configure that.
Nice.
And then for the next release, I am going to prepare XFCE on this machine and then the Mate version on the other machine, and then we'll hopefully have a kick-ass version of both editions ready for you guys to check out next month.
That'll be awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
And I love that you're stepping up your game on that, too. Speaking of game, though, I got a question, because you know that a lot of people are going to ask it. But are you considering doing a couple of spinoffs or whatever, are you considering a gaming edition on either one of those?
Well, actually, we do have Steam as an option in the installer in Calamaris. We have all the gaming tools in there. And we also have those as options in the StormOS system tool. So we don't really need to make a gaming specific ISO because those apps you can download and install yourself,
as you can do with any distro.
Yes.
But are you gonna have game mode turned on out of the box already?
Those you can actually get in, you can add those. We've added those things in the tool. So you don't need to mess with none of that. That's already pre-installed in the system tool.
Perfect.
Yes. And
one.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, sorry. Finish that thought and then I'll ask you.
Yeah. So anything you want to do to StormOS, you can do in the system tool. You don't need to mess with any of that. And also, another thing I want to mention that Seeker would ask me to mention is he has included a custom browser, a custom download manager, and a bunch of other things that are included in the panel, like, you know, a bookmark manager, a video player, music translator, a study timer, calendar, things like that. And also we
nice quality
added
of life stuff.
Yes, yeah. Pretty much. And we also added a post-install fixes thing that, you know, because we swapped out a Firefox for Chromium because mm-hmm. we wanted to, with the bookmark manager,
mm-hmm.
we have it to where I can save bookmarks and copy paste them and all that in that tool.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to switch up because we couldn't get them working in Firefox. We had to change to Chromium, but you can still install Firefox from Calamaris if you so desire.
Right.
However, when you install it, you have to run the post-install fixes tool on the desktop because if you don't,
mm-hmm.
you'll have keyring issues and all this crap, and it won't load Chromium by default. We couldn't find a way around that.
As long as you have a fix for it. See, that's the thing that I think is really nice about you maintainers that actually will put a tool out that actually addresses fixes that you are known about.
Yeah. So Seeker made me aware of that, and we added that as a shortcut on the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if you know people need that, they can do it. So
really nice.
And I don't know if Arch is going to push that as a fix, but that's just something we did till then. So
awesome.
So Jesse, that's great attention to detail. It really is. Yeah.
Right. And also we added a text-based installer from my girlfriend. So that way, you know, if we need that, mm-hmm. you know, if someone wants to do that, that's perfectly fine.
That's awesome. So,
cool.
What was your question, Jess?
Oh, going back to the Mate questions.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you intending to build and include Mate Optimus? Do you know about that?
I can look to see if that's on the AUR, so that way
it's not. It would have to be a source build.
You'd have to be a source build.
Oh god. Okay.
I've built it, and it's not a bad build. It's
I can look into that. Yes, we will definitely see about getting that as an option for you. Yes.
It's a lot more stable than Optimus Manager QT. It's
more stable, and that's actually a valid point, Jesse, because I have funnily enough, I have an AMD APU and an NVIDIA RTX 2060 on this laptop.
Oh wow, what a combo!
I will tell you guys, I have struggled my buns off to try and get the dual graphics working on this thing, and mm-hmm. I'm actually considering using that on this laptop because I gotta tell you, you guys know as well as I do that dual graphics on laptops and Linux,
it's a PIA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, and I gotta tell you, Mate Optimus is like a godsend from heaven because I got to tell you, I hate having to deal with that nightmare. And
I'm AMD all the way, so yeah.
But
what's interesting,
Alex. Oh, yeah. But my laptop next to me, this ProBook here, it's a Sandy Bridge laptop. It has mm-hmm. Intel HD graphics as well as an AMD 6470 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I am considering putting Mate Optimus on that too. Because it just frustrates the heck out of me to have to deal with dual graphics on any machine.
Well, I've got a Lenovo T30.
Yeah.
And it's a 530. And it's a ThinkPad. And it has dual graphics in it as well, and one of them's NVIDIA, and I've had nothing but problems with trying to get that to go. I did the same thing. I found out the Optimus Mate, and I did that, and I'm running DTOS on it, you know, as my daily.
Yeah,
and it just like literally
Mate Optimus is so just it's great. You forget that you have dual graphics, and that's where it should be.
Yeah. Oglo asked a question in the chat where he asked, why does your girlfriend want a text-based installer?
Oh, well, put it simply, it's for those who want more of an Arch-based minimal system.
Arch-based minimal?
Nice.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It does Sprinkles still pull right. in, yeah. right. Sprinkles is right. You know, it's for those who want to use the StormOS theming, etc., but in a more minimal sense. You know, they don't want to have to like pull in all my apps, etc. They want a more minimal install, mm-hmm. but they can just build it, do what the heck they want with it, not have to have all the stuff from Calamari's, etc. They can make it more mm-hmm. the way they want it without all the bloat, you might say.
Right.
Yeah, and that same installer will be on the Mate version as well, but we're going to have to do some more work to it, so that may not be there right out of the gate. We will see. It's just when Kaylee has time, there's no ETA if there's no confirmation if she's going to be able to include that by default. So that might happen. It might not. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
Cool.
I mean,
very cool.
Yeah. That's really cool that she did that, because, you know, it will make your OS a lot more friendlier for lighter resource
advanced people.
Well, advanced people, and also for lighter resource machines.
Yep. Right, like my ProBook, because it has a weaker CPU than this. This gaming one is a Legion from Lenovo, and it's going on a couple years old now. It's a Ryzen 7 4800H, and I've only got so many resources to test these spins, so the more testers we can get, the better.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask. That was another thing. What is your model for like a test group, like a beta group?
We've got Seeker helping to test, Ricky, you know, Kaylee does when she can, but she's still on the dev side of things. So, you know, we don't have a very big testing group right now. So we're always looking for more people to add to the team and that sort of thing. So if you guys not only donate, but, you know, have test machines to test this on, please do, because, again, I only have so many resources and things that I can test this stuff on. So if you guys do download it and take it for a test drive, that helps us out.
And so how can people get a hold of you if they do want to become part of your test group?
I'll give you the link or my email, my StormWest email, to put out there. You can find me on Discord, you know, join the StormWest Discord. That would be great, because we need to get more activity back in there.
You do have a Discord. Make sure you get all your information to Jonathan. So Jonathan can update in the show description as well.
I'll put it in our group chat. So that way we can do that.
He can take care of you, so we can get people to help you test and maybe we can donations, please, if you guys can, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, really, what we'll do is I'm looking right now for the StormOS Discord, and then we can go from there.
Cool. I really wanted to spotlight your distro, because it's a good distro. It's had some growing pains, and I've watched
doesn't, though.
Exactly.
You're right, Jesse. And, you know, the more donations we get, the more, et cetera. And we definitely need to keep this, you know, the donations go to like help keep this thing alive and, you know, keep things on the flow, because, I mean, we never have enough people and help to test it. So
no distro ever has enough people to test it, to be honest with you, except for maybe Canonical. I think they've got them and Fedora probably have the deepest bases for beta testing, you know what I mean? But no, I wanted to spotlight you for sure, because I want to help your distro in any way, shape, or form grow, you know?
And I value that, Alex, because, I mean, we need all the push we can get for StormOS, and, you know, we need to get this thing as many downloads as we can, and I just sent the Discord link, which I said to never expire, and email for my team to the Discord group. So I thank you for letting me on, and I hope to be on again sometime.
Oh, you're definitely a friend of the channel. Have you. Yeah, you're a friend of the show for sure. And so of course you'll be back on, you know, no questions about that. Grateful that you asked. I was just grateful that you asked. That was cool.
Great. And we'll be on again with another update sometime soon.
Yeah, and you know, cool. we've got a couple people that want to come on and be guests as well, so they'll be coming on in the future.
And I'll be sure to watch that for some point.
That's awesome. I appreciate your support too. Yeah.
Of course. And I before we conclude, I got to get the GoFundMe. Oh shoot!
You got to get the GoFundMe.
Yes, I got to get that in the. I got to get that in the show notes for darn sure.
Yep, that's fine.
Oh yeah.
So
I have to get the LastPass logged in because I'm slowly moving over from LastPass to Bitwarden. Ugh.
Oh,
such a pain in the neck.
That Bitwarden thing, huh?
Yes, I'm moving over, so I'm trying.
Yeah, LastPass has been hacked like 4 times, and Bitwarden's only been hacked like once. So
So I'm trying to move all my oodles of passwords over. It's a pain in the rear.
Yeah, PSA. I use Bitwarden myself, and what I did is I exported my my stuff into like an XML or no, a spreadsheet format, right? I think it's XML. Yeah, XML format. Yeah. And then imported it that way, if that helps.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that after this show because I tell you, having to copy them one after one
after one. That's actually how I import my bookmarks too, is I'll export it as an XML format and then I'll import it, you know, as the XML onto whatever browser I'm doing. That's a nice way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, let me
So basically, in a nutshell, all you guys that are listening, go out, give StormOS a test drive. Also make sure that you guys document or write down any weird nuances that you guys are having, and make sure you get them back to Ben through his information,
email or Discord,
whatever, you know, in our Discord and everything, so that way he can address those issues. And I will tell you that he's actually good at doing that, because when I did the review, there were some issues that I caught in the review, and I told him about it before I released the review, and he actually had them fixed by the review time.
So, yes, that's and,
yes.
And one of the things that Alex pointed out to me, guys, was that the installer had to be marked as executable. That is not just unique to StormOS. I have seen that on other Arch-based ISOs as well. So that is something that is upstream. That's out of my control.
Right.
So yeah.
Right. We've come to find out since then. But if you know you're doing the vanilla script installer, that might be a tuned option too that people can just.
Yeah. Well, that's not unique to XFCE. That is something that is system wide, so that's not unique to the installer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that is beyond my control, no matter which application it is. So until Linux pushes a fix, that is just not something that we distro maintainers can fix right now.
Got that. Right. No, not saying that, but you know, maybe you should definitely try out Ripley's idea, that consider that Jade installer, because it's pretty badass. It's easy to use.
I'm going to look
fast
into that as an alternative.
I mean,
yes,
it's being used on Crystal Linux, which I did a review of that too as well.
Yeah.
Crystal Linux is actually a pretty nice distribution. But that Jade installer was something that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm definitely going to.
This is their package manager.
Yeah. If I build LFS again, I'm going to add Amethyst and the Jade thing, so that way. Because I got to tell you, I've been using Scratch Package as my LFS package manager from Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my lord, they're using Git for their GitHub for their host. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it is a pain, because what happened was the LFS scripts that I'm using from Emmett, who maintains Venom, they're not bad, but they're severely out of date,
mm-hmm.
and things in the Linux structure have changed to where it's glibc had a break,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, oh god. So I need to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the vanilla LFS method, and then I'm just gonna, I'm going to use Jade instead of and Rip and the Amethyst package instead of what he's using instead.
Nice.
So.
Well, so Oglo just said in the chat that he thinks that Jade is written in Rust. So,
that's good.
So that makes it, you know, pretty cool. You get a little bit of support there as well. A bit of an announcement that I got last night, and Jesse doesn't even know this, so Jesse's gonna be like wild on this one too. But in my Discord, I have somebody who, when we floated out the idea of actually working on the TLT distro,
TLT distro
as just kind of a joke thing, it's actually breathing life, which is wild.
And
it's going to be based off of LFS.
Oh, you got to be shitting me!
No. And I'm really stunned on it. And so Jesse and I are going to sit and talk with one of the developer that's putting this together for us. And
well, if you guys need any help, don't hesitate to ask me.
No problem, Ben. I appreciate that. And I'll see if I can get him. Jesse, you're muted again. TLT plus LFS perfection.
Oh, good gosh. If you need any help, just don't hesitate to ask me, man.
Yeah, no worries, brother. But it's going to be crazy what's being put together, from what I understand. So when I got the voice message last night, it blew me away. Literally, I was like stunned. I'm like, no way, this is crazy. But either way,
people have asked you and me about that.
Yeah.
A lot of people have done that. And
speaking of my LFS, it's going to be called Xinix OS. XinnixOS.
Nice.
Yes, sir. And nice. I've already got a grub theme for it, everything like that.
Yeah.
Anything without a grub theme. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Sir.
I haven't thought of the name for this distribution because, like I said, it was started off as kind of a joke, but it's actually getting some life breathed into it, which is wild.
Yeah.
So that being said, it's I'm excited, and I'm also kind of nervous because I don't necessarily want all the headaches.
You already got enough crap on your plate.
Way, man, I'm excited because once again. I love our TLT community. I love our TLTers, and they're just awesome people. And I'm so humbled that they've actually wanted to do this. So, I mean, this is really cool, you know, and
it's a great community. I love being a part of it too.
Yeah. And so I just want to tell you guys out there, man, if you're a TLTer, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. You guys give me so much inspiration to do this channel. Honest to God, man, much love to you guys, man. I mean, this is certainly not anything that I ever imagined it to be. You know what I mean? But the support from like Ben, from other developers, you know, that is awesome. Either way, you know, I just wanted to put that out there and just surprise Jesse because, like I said, it blew me away.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it blew me away. So that'll do it for today's show. Last thing you want to say, Jess, anything?
No, I'm good. That's a wrap for me.
All right. What about you, Ben?
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks again for having me on the program. Glad to be here. Can't wait to join again. And we will be keeping StormOS going. And I hope you guys download it, donate, and enjoy it. Thanks again.
No problem. And we will do everything we can to help promote you, brother. And I'm going to tell you guys the same thing I always say, which is y'all keep doing what you do. Keep on Linuxing. Stay blessed. Stay safe. And I'll see you in the next one. Have a good one.
Peace out, guys.
See ya.
That was fun.
We're rolling the outro. Hang on.